The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Hey everyone, welcome on in. I'm Sandy Charles. I'm sitting in for Brad Sessmatt on the Football AZ Show. Hope you all had a fabulous Valentine's Day, and now it's President's Day, and I'm so glad you're spending it with us today. We have a lot to get to. NFL agent Molly McMenemy stops by to talk about the pre-draft process, how it's changed with COVID, and how it's affected her clients and herself. And then 12 News sports anchor Cam Cox stops by. He talks all things Arizona, and it is so much fun. But first, we're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you and your business. Well, like I mentioned, thanks so much for joining us. There's a lot to get to, but first, some fun stuff, and that's the Suns. How exciting have they been? They're fourth in the Western Conference. They're 17-9. They're coming off their sixth win in a row last night, taking down the Magic. Devin Booker, he's always been so much fun to watch, but last night, 17 points in the first quarter alone. He ended the night with 27 points. Mikal Bridges, 21 points. And Chris Paul, you guys, we'll get to him, but 12 points, 6 rebounds, and 9 assists. The Chris Paul effect, it's definitely going on right here in Phoenix. He elevates this team. He elevates the locker room. There's so much chemistry. He just makes everyone around him so much better. He's the missing link, and actually Cam Cox and I talk about that, so I won't give too much away, but the Suns are just so much fun to watch right now. They're gelling, the chemistry, and the little girl in me, I grew up a Suns fan, going to every Suns game I could. I have five brothers, so I had to compete with them, but every single game, and I remember going to with my dad, he had 8 tickets, and I would beg to go, and this is Charles Barkley, Kevin Johnson, Dan Marley, Elliot Perry. For those of you that remember Elliot Perry, his nickname was Socks, and he would wear those high socks all the way up to his knees. He was my favorite player for some reason. Dan Marley was, and I had all of his basketball cards. And Kevin Johnson went to my church. Charles Barkley, of course, we know how much fun he is. But for some reason, Elliot Perry really stuck out with me. But now how good the Suns are and how much fun it is, it really takes me back to that time. So cannot wait to watch them against the Nets. They're going to get battle tested with their next game. Cannot wait to see how head coach Monty Williams really elevates this team, because I think he's a player's coach. They love playing for him. The way he can adjust during a game, and these players go out, you know, the Suns just go out and execute everything that he says. And it's really fun to see. So, going to have my popcorn. I'm going to get ready. James Harden comes to town. It's going to be a great game. And the Suns are letting in more fans. But again, Cam Cox touches on that. Spring training, you guys. That pitchers and catchers report this week. We made it. I know that there was a time where we did not think that we were going to make it, but it's here. They are reporting. There was, you know, Cactus League had sent a letter to MLB saying, let's postpone, and that was a really tough day for me personally, but it's here, and they are going to allow some fans. Cam Cox touches on that again, but for Diamondbacks specifically at Salt River Fields, no cash will be accepted. No bags will be accepted, no fan autographs, and there will be pods of 2, 4, or 6 so that you are socially distanced. But we made it. We are going to get to watch baseball in person, limited fans. I'll take it. And even though it's, I think it was age two and up, you have to wear a mask. Slap 4, 5 on me as long as we get to watch and be all together. I will take it. And speaking of the Diamondbacks, did they do enough in the offseason to compete in the NL West? We get to that with Cam Cox. But first, we'll be back with Molly McMenemy, NFL agent, and everything that she's been through the last few months. That's coming up next. And I'm now joined by NFL agent Molly McMenemy. She's with Carrick Sports. Molly, the NFL draft is right around the corner. So what have the last few months been like for you and your clients?
They've definitely been a little unconventional compared to other draft years. Even last year, we were able to get through the NFL Combine before everything shut down. We squeezed a couple pro days in, but Not having the combine this year has definitely made it a different experience. I think in some ways it's beneficial because now the guys have a little bit more time to train. So I think we're going to see at pro days some faster times and some better results than years prior, because instead of testing at the end of February, most guys will be testing at the end of March. So I think it's actually going to play into their favor, but it's still made it very, it's just difficult when even we haven't gone through this before to, you know, set expectations for the guys. And really our job is, you know, to keep their lives easier right now. So that has been difficult to try to manage their stress and their anxieties about this. You know, they feel like they're missing out on things that they would have been able to do in years past. So it's kind of a little bit like I'm looking for the pros, but there are definitely a lot of cons.
You mentioned times in the past. So what would a normal year look like for a pre-draft process? What does that normally look like?
So typically, they start training around January 1st. So they finish up their games in December, with the exception of the teams that are obviously playing in the January 1 bowl games or the national championship game. Everybody else pretty much gets going on January 1. So that is the beginning of combine training. Even if you don't end up getting a combine invite, you're training for your pro day, but everyone typically starts around that date. So that gives combine guys about 8 weeks to prepare. And that's just, it's not a lot of time. So everything gets going very quickly. And then you have Senior Bowl, NFLPA, their Collegiate Bowl, and the Shrine Game that are all at the end of January. The NFLPA and Shrine Game are usually third weekend. Senior Bowl is usually fourth weekend. So if a guy gets an invite to that, that's a whole other week he's taking away from training. So you really have to get going, get their plans in place with their training facilities. We help move them into those facilities, help facilitate their plan to put it into place. You know, we need to tell the trainers basically this is how fast they need to run, this is what they need to accomplish. And then they really just grind for those 8 weeks, with the exception of maybe leaving for an all-star game. They just go very hard every day. I think a lot of people think of the training aspect and they think it's kind of like practice at school where you go for a couple hours. It's basically a 9-to-5. So our guys, on top of the things you think of, weightlifting, the field work, they also get some position work in. We incorporate yoga. We incorporate a ton of rehab and regeneration. So cryo, float tank, massages, PT if they need it. So they're very long days. And then usually we have the combine, which is like the NFL's convention for the year. That's a really grueling week for the guys. If they do get an invite, it's something every guy wants to do. But when they're there, they're like, this is insane. Really early mornings, really late nights. And you're doing all that with the expectation that you're going to perform well physically. So that's usually a really long week. And then after that, you have pro days, which are still going to happen this year. But usually the guys that get combine invites either decide I did what I wanted to do at the combine, I'm going to scale back that type of training and start doing position work. Or the guys who maybe want to fix something that they didn't like at the combine, they didn't run as fast, they didn't jump as high, they keep training for those specific drills, and then they redo that at their pro day. And then in the midst of all that, in a normal year, you're also getting private workouts, team visits to team facilities, phone calls from teams all the time. So it's really a jam-packed 4 months.
So with COVID, and now, like you mentioned, no combine, are there visits and are there yoga? What does it look like now?
So the combine training itself has pretty much been unchanged. All the facilities have taken into account all the precautions they need to. So guys get tested, they're in, you know, kind of isolated environments to where they're able to still get the training that they would get most years. But everything else, as far as like the things I listed, the combine is canceled. I doubt that there will be team visits where the teams bring guys in, because I doubt they're going to want the liability of guys coming to their facility. Scouts, so any team personnel is not allowed to go to any type of workout besides a school ran pro day. So you can't say, hey, we're going to do our own version of the combine at a training facility and invite the team personnel. Nobody's allowed to do that. And I think that's mostly for the safety of the team personnel, but also just there has to be some level of fairness Where if you have, you know, one organization that says we're going to have our scouts go everywhere and another one that says I don't want our scouts to get COVID, I think the NFL just wanted it to be kind of a level playing field of, hey, this is where your scouts are allowed to go, nowhere else, so we don't risk spreading it even more, getting people sick. And I don't think the teams want that liability. They don't want to put their scouts in a position where they might get sick as well. So I think most of the other things beyond pro days are also just going to be not happening, which is something that happened last year, because after the combine is when all those things usually happen. And that was when COVID really hit and they just shut everything down. So that is something we've already adapted to. So we're anticipating that, and we know how to kind of adapt and overcome that challenge.
So I was reading about Exos opening their doors in all three of their locations in different states. How does that affect these players? Are any of your clients affected? Does this help them? What is this?
So we don't have any clients at Exos in particular. I think a lot of training facilities might do something similar. But like I said, the rules from the NFL are that team personnel are not allowed at these events. So my guess is that they'll film it and they'll send it out, which is a great alternative to pro days. But I think all these guys should still go to their pro day. They shouldn't rely on this, because a big part of this process is the scouts and the team personnel seeing you in person. Mm-hmm. So even beyond the times that will get put out, they want to see what you look like. Like, size is such a big thing in the NFL. They want to see how you move in person. You know, how do you open your hips? How quick are you on the field? So I think it's a great addition to doing your pro day, but if our training facility decides to do this, we're also going to encourage our guys to do the pro day, because that's where team personnel is actually allowed, and nothing beats them seeing you in person. Even though Exos will probably do a great job because they're a great facility.
Who are some of your clients that we need to keep an eye out for?
All of them. I can tell you who all of our, we have a small draft class. We usually keep a pretty small draft class, so this won't take me very long. But we have Derek Barnes. He's a linebacker from Purdue. We have Dwayne Johnson Jr., a safety from San Diego State. Foster Sorrell, who is a tackle from Stanford. Drew Dahlman, who is a center from Stanford. We have Devery Hamilton, who is a tackle from Duke. And then a tight end from Alabama, Miller Forrestall. So that's our draft class this year. And everybody has fantastic strengths. They're all working their butt off right now, even in COVID times. I'm very proud of them, because they really are having to handle adversity that no class ever has before. And every time I visit the training facility, they are so upbeat and positive and just working hard, like controlling what they can control. And that's all you can do in this environment right now. And so I think they're all going to make an NFL team better. They're all going to be great NFL players when their time comes. And I'm super excited for them to get through this really difficult time, because I think when they do make it to the league, then they're going to be even better pros than, you know, maybe rookies have been in the past, because they were handed such a crappy, you know, plate.
Wow. It's been tough. In your day-to-day life, as you prepare for NFL draft and help them prepare, what does it look like for you specifically?
So a lot of it is we are very hands-on. So a lot of it for me is going and visiting them. I think that the best way you can really get a handle on how someone is handling this whole process is to be present. Mm-hmm. So my style of representation is very hands-on, very just, I'm there. That it sounds so simple, but that's the way that I have found. Not only can I sense red flags or if a guy is not doing well in a certain area, but you just kind of get to know them. And this is such a unique business in that you don't have the opportunity to fully get to know your clients the way that you would want to, unless you do this the way that I do it, because then I'm up there. We spend time together. We form this bond and this relationship. So when they do go to their NFL city and we don't get to spend that one-on-one time together as much, we already have that foundation. And then I'm able to, then I know their personality well. I know what helps them, what motivates them. So that's really my biggest thing right now. And then the second thing is promoting them to NFL teams and making sure I'm getting accurate and up-to-date information. So part of my job is formulating the plan, like I said, with the training facility in order to maximize their draft potential. So I need to know how fast they need to run, and I communicate this to them. we set goals for every aspect of this whole process. So they kind of know what they're aiming for. And I tell them, you know, this is what you need to do to reach your draft ceiling. So if we're hearing from NFL teams that the top of this guy's draft ceiling is the third round, this is everything he needs to hit. So I just stay in the loop on all that, keep relaying information to them. And then I'm just kind of a support system. You know, if they need something, I make sure they have it. If they need to talk, if they need some uplifting because they didn't get a combine invite, whatever it is in that moment, it's my job to just be available to them.
I'm joined by NFL agent Molly McMenemy. Now, Molly, you have your picture up in Times Square in New York. How did this come about?
So I am a part of an organization called A Seat at the Table. It's wonderful. It was started last Super Bowl by two amazing women in this business. And their whole goal was basically to provide women an opportunity to literally have a seat at the table, but more so than just, hey, come, you know, listen to this person speak, or, you know, there's a lot of things out there, but their whole goal in this, because the original event they threw was like a meet and greet type of event where you could actually come and speak to people. So in like your instance, a young girl who wants to do what you do could come ask you questions about everything you do on air and, you know, the play-by-play stuff you do versus just, you know, following someone on Instagram or Twitter and hoping they respond to your DM. Like it's really an opportunity to actually connect. And so when COVID hit, it became obviously more of a virtual community, but that allowed it to grow so much. And so I got involved about a year ago as one of the mentors, because I am one of so few women NFL agents. And so it's just an incredible organization. And one of the co-founders, Christina, who is in community relations with the NFL, she had the opportunity to enter the organization into a contest. And I guess we ended up winning. And so a few months ago, or it was a while ago now, I helped record like a video. I had no idea that I was actually going to be featured. I didn't know like a ton of the details, but when Christina asked me to do something, I just do it. And so I recorded a video about why mentorship is important. And it really, I mean, I'm sure you know, just this business, you really do need someone who really cares about your success, and not just in a way that benefits them, but really like showing that next generation the way to do this the right way, and that you can do it in a way with integrity and hard work. And you don't have to sell yourself out, or, you know, just be real with them, but also give them hope that there are good people in this business that want to help you and help you get there. And so then last week she said, I knew she had been featured because she had posted it back at the end of last year. So I was like, oh, we won. And I kind of forgot about it. And then last week she just was like, hey, check your Instagram DM. And it was just there. And it was one of those moments of like, this isn't real. I asked her, I go, is that real? It's like, it's Photoshop, right? But it was so cool. It was a very needed thing in that moment for me. So I feel really lucky that I can say that that ever happened.
It's so cool. It's such a bucket list thing, you know, like you think of stuff that you're like, oh, one day that would be nice to have.
I told my mom that's it. It's a bucket list thing, but it's not even a bucket list thing because it's so out there. And unless you're, you know, a model or an actor, you don't think of any reason that you would need, like, that it would make sense. And what's crazy is about almost 2 years ago, on Memorial Day weekend, I was so excited. I go to New York every Memorial Day weekend, and it was the year of the Women's World Cup. And I work for Julie Ertz, and they did a Nike campaign where they put all the Nike women soccer players in Times Square. And I got to see it in person, and I was like overcome with emotion and chills, because that is one of those things of like, you're in Times Square. And the pictures were so cool, and they were so empowering to women, and they are the best team in the world. So just seeing them all up there, I'm like, man, you know, all these like young girls are going to see this, and they're going to want to be like Julie and all these other women. And that was cool to me. And so then last week I was like, I never thought, I was excited to have a client in Times Square that like I was a part of her journey. And then I was like, I never thought it would be me. So yeah, it's one of those moments you're just like, Only God could
do that. Only God. I love that. Because the song, Lauren Daigle's song, I Don't Need My Name in Lights, because I'm famous in my father's eyes, comes to mind when you say that. But it just is so cool. And you mentioned how it came in at such a good time. And it was just so interesting how it all happened, because I had reached out to you. I mentally was struggling last week, like just not okay. And mental health is something here at Sports 360 AZ that we like to talk about, something that we think is so important. And so I wanted to just end with that with both of us, because I struggle with it. Last week was tough. I reached out to you just asking for prayer and just any positivity. And so how do you handle those moments when you're low?
So I'll tie it back to the story, because I think it's a good lesson, and I shared it with you because I was hopeful that it would help you, because probably 48 hours prior to receiving that picture, I was texting back and forth with my dad, and I think it's a mix of pandemic fatigue and burnout, and my job is already usually tough this time of year. My job is kind of like being a parent in that I want to fix everything for every client all the time. And when they're not happy or they feel disappointed, I feel all of that. And so I think everything just kind of came together, and I had a moment of like, am I even supposed to be doing this? Am I in the wrong place? Why am I so just tired? And not, you know, like exhausted in the sense I need more sleep. Like I was just tired. Like I couldn't put one foot in front of the other and kind of see that, you know, daylight. And so when I got that photo, it was kind of one of those like keep going reminders. And I felt so low days prior, but little did I know, you know, God had this in the works for me. And so it really encouraged me to just remember that when you're feeling low, there's somebody else, you know, a higher power working for you, doing things like we just said, you could never think of in your own mind. Like I would have never even put that on a bucket list because it's so out of reach. But, you know, my faith teaches me that nothing is out of reach. Nothing is too hard to overcome. Nothing can hold you down longer than it's supposed to. And there really are lessons in those tough moments. But every time I overcome them, I just try to take something so that next time I feel that, I remember like, hey, remember last time? You always get through it. And so for me, and as you know, it's my faith, but I know everybody has their own things, and if it's not God or their faith for them, just remembering everything that you've overcome before and that you are meant to do hard things and you can do hard things. And it's all part of, you know, the human experience, and nothing lasts forever, the good and the bad.
Awesome, Molly. Thank you so much for sharing with us, and good luck as you prepare and your clients prepare for the NFL draft. This was Molly McMenemy. I'm Sandy Charles, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Thanks so much to Molly McMenemy for sharing her story and letting us take back the curtain on what these athletes really deal with as they prepare for the NFL draft. And most importantly, we ended on mental health with Molly, and I just want to thank her for sharing her story and kind of what gets her through, because here at Sports 360 AZ, mental health is so important. We do have a segment called Starting the Conversation, and that's something that we really are passionate about, starting that conversation. I'll be the first to raise my hand and say that the pandemic really mentally was hard on me. I'm still kind of coming out of it. So thank you so much to Molly, and anyone out there just struggling, reach out to a friend. I've never met Molly officially in person, but we have a relationship from Zoom and from Instagram. So I was able to reach out and just say, hey, I'm struggling. Would you pray for me? Think with me and like work this out with me. So if you're struggling, please reach out to someone, because I guarantee everyone cares and is in the same boat as you. So thanks again to Molly. We will get back to the sports talk. We did touch on spring training a little bit, and like I mentioned, that Diamondbacks are going to allow fans, Salt River Fields are going to allow fans into their park. They haven't set a percentage just yet. Throughout all of Cactus League, it's either 18% all the way to 23%, just depending on what ballpark you go to. But tickets for Diamondbacks go on sale February 20th at 10 a.m., so make sure to snag those. So we've talked about off the field, fans. What about on the field product? Have the Diamondbacks done enough to really compete in the NL West? I personally based on all of the reading and the stats and everything, don't think they have done enough, especially when you look at the Padres getting Blake Snell and Yu Darvish. And then the Dodgers, World Series champions, most of their team is coming back. Plus, they added to it. Trevor Bauer is now in the rotation. And they get Justin Turner back. And they Mookie Betts is coming back. So when you think about all of these components, really, truly, Diamondbacks, this might have to be a rebuild year. Bring up the young guns, something Cam Cox and I do talk about. But let's go through. Okay, Diamondbacks, the rotation. Madison Bumgarner, Zach Gallen, Luke Weaver, Caleb Smith, Alex Young, Merrill Kelly. I personally, based on the numbers and where Madison Bumgarner is, I wouldn't say he's the ace of the team, the 1-2 punch between him and Zach Gallen. Because when you look at the Dodgers, Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, Trevor Bauer, David Price, Dustin May, they're 1-2-3. Walker, Clayton, Trevor Bauer, 1-2-3, just really lights out. So Diamondbacks have a lot of work to do. They did sign Joachim Soria, a reliever, $3.5 million for 1 year, and then Asdrubal Cabrera, $1.75 million for, again, 1 year. So Cabrera is an infield utility. He can go to second base, and Ketel Marte can go back in the outfield. So there's some things that they can do. But to be competitive in the NL West, the Diamondbacks really need to do a lot more. And Cam touches on why they might be handcuffed and not able to do that. But that interview is coming up later. It's so much fun. And Sun Devils basketball. Bobby Hurley got his 100th win with the Sun Devils. Fabulous to see last night as they took down Oregon State 75-73. They had the lead the whole time, the whole game. Josh Christopher and Marcus Bagley were out. And so even without them, Remy Martin and company were able to get it done. Devils are now 7-9, 4-6 in Pac-12. It's been tough with injuries. It's been tough with COVID. So to have Bobby Hurley get his 100th win is really great to see. They now travel to LA and take on USC on Wednesday. I want to touch a little bit on NFL and JJ Watt before we get to Cam Cox, who's going to break down everything that is going on in Arizona sports. So JJ Watt asked for his release from the Texans, and it was granted. Is he the missing link for the Cardinals? Bear with me. I know he has struggled with injuries. 2015, he didn't miss a game, even though he had a broken hand. 2016, 2017, he had season-ending injuries. 2019, tore his pectoral muscle, but he came back for the playoffs. Could he be the missing link? Wouldn't you love to see him on the other side of Chandler Jones? You know, that I love what he brings to the team on the field if he can stay healthy, but I also love what he brings to the community and what he could bring to the locker house. If the Cardinals get Larry Fitzgerald back, what about that leadership between J.J. Watt and Fitz? I just think that's going to elevate this team. Again, we talked about Chris Paul earlier in the first segment about how he elevates his team to play at a higher level. I think that's what J.J. Watt does. He pushes them to be better. That's what Larry Fitz does. He elevates them. He takes them. He corrals them under his wings. So J.J. Watt, could that be the missing piece for the Cardinals? I want to hear from you. You should tweet at Sports360AZ. How far off do you think I am? If the Cardinals go back and get Hassan Reddick, again, Cam Cox will touch on that. How great this defense. There's a lot of holes that the Cardinals need to address. And with the NFL draft right around the corner, I think there's a lot of pieces that they can move around, work with. And the Cardinals, they're fun to watch. They're really fun. They just have a lot of plug and play that needs to be done and things that need to be addressed in the draft. That can definitely happen. So Suns are on a roll. Coyotes have been on a roll. Sun Devils basketball getting their win. So it's a fun time right here. Just want to see the Diamondbacks and the Cardinals kind of pick it up. It might be a tough season for the Diamondbacks this 2021. So fans, hold on, because you'll get through it. We will get through it. And Cam Cox with 12 News breaks that all down. So don't go anywhere. He is coming up right after this. I'm now joined by sports anchor for 12 News, Cam Cox. Cam, we're going to talk Arizona sports. There's a lot going on. First, this is the week pitchers and catchers report. So let's touch on spring training just a little bit. What's the latest that you're hearing with regards to fans allowed, not allowed? Where do we stand?
Well, first of all, Sandy, thank you so much for having me. Second, I just can't believe it's already spring training. It feels like time has flown by, and here we are still doing this once again. You know, it was last March in the middle of spring training when all this shut down and kind of everything hit. And I could have told you back then I'd have never thought we'd still be doing this a year later. So it's kind of weird to think about that it's here. As far as fans are concerned, I'm hearing the Dodgers and the Angels are going to let in fans early on. Those are the early teams right now that are going to allow people to come watch games right now. Everybody else is still up in the air. You know, of course, for the D-backs pitchers and catchers report on Wednesday, their first full squad workout is on Sunday. And then games start at the end of this month for everyone across the Cactus League. It'll be interesting to see which ballparks allow in fans, don't allow in fans. I think they could do it safely. I mean, seriously, you've been to those spring training parks. They can spread everybody out. They can keep them in zones like we saw at the Phoenix Open. I thought that was a good test run, and especially out there on the lawn and in the ballpark too as well. So I think all ballparks should allow fans. And I think by the time we get to the end of February, you're going to see a small amount of fans in every ballpark throughout the Valley.
Good point with Phoenix Open, because I really love how they handled it, and seeing it on social media, because I wasn't there, I was like, wow, they did a fabulous job. Everyone was spread out, all the suites, everything incredible. I love that you brought that up.
Yeah, they had, I think, 2,600 fans inside the 16th hole. I mean, that's a lot in the same area.
Yeah.
The Suns are about to let in 3,000 here coming up for their game against the Nets. So I think there's definitely a way to do it. And especially once you spread everybody out around a ballpark, it would just make sense to me that you could let some fans in for spring training. Everybody wear masks, social distance, mm-hmm. So the normal.
I did read that masks 2 and up required at spring training, so everyone's gonna have a mask.
Whatever it takes, we'll do. Just let me go watch some baseball, eat a hot dog, okay? Whatever it takes, I'll wear 3 if you need me to.
So true. I'm right there with you. When that letter from the Cactus League went to Major League Baseball about postponing it, I'm not gonna lie, Cam, I cried. I think I cried all day long. So now that we're almost there, pitchers and catchers report. Thank you. Like, we're almost through it.
We're almost through it.
let's get to the product on the field. Do you think the Diamondbacks did enough in offseason to even compete in the NL West? Let's just say NL West as opposed to the whole league. NL West, do you think they did enough?
No. That's all I got. No, I'm just kidding. No, not even close. But this was always going to be the plan, Sandy. They just weren't going to do anything this offseason. They had a very high payroll for a few years now. They had to bring that number down. So it was going to be a quiet offseason. They signed that veteran reliever, Joaquin Soria, Azula Cabrera. They brought him in, an older infielder. So you got some veteran guys that hopefully can be the older guys in the bunch for a little bit for a lot of these young guys that are on this team. But no, they definitely didn't do anywhere close to what the Dodgers or Padres have done. Anybody else in baseball, they're going to be a middle of the pack team at best. They got a lot of guys on this roster, Sandy, that are like, if he can play like he did 2 years ago, then they're going to be okay. If Ketel Marte can be this, if Eduardo Escobar can be that, if Madison Bumgarner, I mean, we can keep if Christian Walker, Carson Kelly, David Peralta, I mean, if all these guys can be what they were 2 years ago, and we can just kind of forget about that shortened 60-game season last year, I think they'll be all right. They could be a middle-of-the-pack team. Heck, when you can get some production like they were a couple years ago from these guys, heck, maybe they can win more games than that and compete. Compete, maybe. I'm stretching here a little bit, maybe, with the Dodgers and the Padres. But they got a lot of decisions to make moving forward, and it all starts with those guys that if they can play like they did a couple years ago, what will happen? And then if they can't, they're going to play a lot of young guys this year. They got a very talented farm system, as you know, a lot of guys coming up through the ranks. So if those guys can't be what they were and what the D-backs are hoping they can show, it's going to be a very young season for the D-backs, and it'll probably be a tough one, a rebuilding year for Torrey and the guys.
100%. Maybe it is the year to give those young guns a chance, a look in the big leagues, because you're giving them a lot more credit than I'm giving them. I'm saying they're going to battle the Rockies for the bottom and second.
Oh, okay. I'm cool with that. I'll agree with that. I got no problem with that.
it's gonna be tough for fans. Just hang on. We will get through this. Diamondbacks fans, you will get through this eventually. So. Yeah. Positive in the Valley, the Suns, six-game winning streak, so much fun to watch. Where do you stand with them? Are they for real? What are your thoughts?
You know, it's funny. As I was driving in, a buddy of mine just called me. He was like, "Hey, I'm glad I caught you so early. I just want to talk some basketball real quick." There's a lot of excitement in this Valley, and it's so great to see. This is a basketball town at its core, and it's almost been in hiding for so many years. And I think this streak at home, we haven't seen a homestand like this in maybe a decade. We haven't seen a team this talented in maybe a decade. It's been a long time since you've been this confident in what a Suns team can do. They're fourth in the West right now, which is just unbelievable. Playing some of the best basketball in the league. I'm going to repeat that. The Suns are playing some of the best basketball in the league. We haven't been able to say that in years. And so it's great to see what they've been able to do. 9 of their last 10 is just unbelievable. Devin Booker is a surefire all-star. Chris Paul has elevated this team. You know, it seems like nobody wants to be that guy, because when you're playing so well, even DeAndre Ayton, at times, listen, he is what he is. He's not going to be that dominating center we're all hoping for yet, maybe one day. But even he doesn't want to be that guy that stands out on a nightly basis for not raising his level to what this team can be. And I think that's what Chris Paul brings. He's just raising everyone's talent around him. Mikal Bridges has shown he's going to be a guy around here for a long time. Cam Johnson has proven he was the right pick by James Jones in the draft. Surefire shooter. They got a lot of guys off the bench that can compete. Frank Kaminsky, a guy who wasn't even on the roster in training camp. They signed him late. Here he is in the starting lineup, knocking down threes, making great passes. Dario Saric apparently is the quiet MVP of the team. I'll say that just because of what he all brings coming back after battling COVID. They got a very talented roster, and this is a team that's trending to contending in the West. And it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, because it's been a very long time since we've seen good basketball, like night in and night out good basketball. Around here in Phoenix, I love it.
It feels so good growing up a Suns fan from just a tiny little girl. It feels so good. So
you can dust out that Suns jersey now. Yes. Everybody can bring them out of the closet and start wearing them around town again.
Mine was Elliot Perry. I don't know if anyone remembers him, but man, he was my favorite. I don't know why.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Chris Paul, the missing link that the Suns were waiting for. Is that who he is?
He definitely is. And it is crazy because everybody, Suns fans recently were worried about giving up Kelly Oubre Jr. and, what he brought to the Valley and the energy. And we appreciate Kelly because he started the culture change and he started that belief once again. I think he got a lot of younger fans to jump on the bandwagon again. But Chris Paul is just on another level. Charles Barkley calls him the best leader in the NBA. And Charles is spot on about that. He's just the attitude he brings, the winning culture he brings. The other night, we were asking Devin Booker, and Devin Booker said something really cool. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. We're rolling now. We're doing this. I don't want to go back to what we were. And when he was talking about Chris Paul, he goes, go ask Chris Paul how they feel after these wins. I mean, they're not going to go tell you, we upset the Sixers and we upset these guys. I mean, he'll tell you it's a good win, but he's not going to sit here in the middle of the season and be like, this was a massive win for us. No, Chris Paul, we just got to keep stacking wins. Devin Booker talked about Jay Crowder. Go ask Jay Crowder how he feels about this win. He's excited, but he's not going to sit here and tell you, this is some massive win midpoint of the season. These are guys that have been in the playoffs. Jay Crowder was just in the finals. So they bring this championship experience, and they bring that experience that can help guys know, hey, we got this done tonight against a very good team. We beat the Bucks, we beat the Sixers, but refocus. We got to come to work tomorrow and do it again. And they have that attitude, and it's just great to see.
And doing it again, they need to, because they're going up against the Nets next, going to get a little battle tested. What do they need to do to get their seventh win?
Just keep playing like they're playing. You know, the Nets are possibly going to be without Kevin Durant. That's going to be something to watch. It's looking like that's the case. But, of course, they bring James Harden. Of course, they bring Kyrie Irving, a very talented basketball team, a team that's going to be there, you know, regardless of what they've done recently. I know they've struggled a little bit. Regardless of what they've done recently, they're going to be there at the end of the year, you know, with the Bucks, with the Sixers. Those are all teams that are going to compete in the West. So it's going to be another good test for them, another good basketball game. They're going to let it more fans. It's fitting on the night. I don't know if Robert Sarver did this on purpose. I can't prove it. I haven't talked to Robert, but it's only fitting the night that Steve Nash comes back to the Valley. He increases the attendance by 1,500 fans. They're going to let in 3,000 fans total for their game against the Nets. So that's going to be cool. You got Steve Nash coming back, you know, MVP Steve, of course, on his bench, which is hard to believe. Mike D'Antoni and Amari Stoudemire, two guys that are beloved in this Valley. It'll be a great night for basketball here, because not only the Suns are going for this seventh win, not only are they playing great basketball right now, but if you can beat maybe the old memories that we have, I just think it's a neat night for basketball in the Valley, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And it'll be, and James Harden, you bitched all those guys. James Harden's a Sun Devil, so a lot of connections Tuesday night. It'll be a fun night on national TV, so it'll be great for the Suns.
Awesome to see the Suns on this big stage. I'm going to have my popcorn. I cannot wait, because I'm telling you, growing up, the Suns were my team. So to be back in love is great. I know I'm a reporter and I stay unbiased, but the little girl in me is a Suns fan.
Hey, I always tell people this, we're all fans at heart. We all got teams we root for. We can do our job, but somewhere in here is a connection. That's what makes sports so great, is the connection to these teams. And it's great.
100%. Lastly, let's just touch on the Cardinals really quick. There's a lot of needs that the team, that the Cardinals need. Specifically, what are you targeting? What would you target for the Cardinals?
Well, that's kind of a long list. I'll say this first and foremost. They need to address some key free agents. They need to bring back Hassan Reddick. And they need to bring back Patrick Peterson. Cardinal fans, chill out when I mention Patrick Peterson's name. If you could find me another cornerback on this market that brings to the table what Patrick Peterson brings to the table at the same price, veteran guy, sure, he's not the same cornerback he was 2 or 3 years ago, but he's still a darn good cornerback and a guy that can play in this league at a high level and a guy they need back there. You don't just find cornerbacks like Patrick Peterson off the street for the same price. You could take a flyer on somebody who was hurt last year, maybe like a Robert Alford who they signed who has not worked out. You could take a Drake Kirkpatrick. So you could take a flyer on a guy, but you can't find another guy like Patrick Peterson. Cardinals, make it work. Bring Pat back for a few more years. Figure out a way to keep Hassan Reddick. You know, that would be a great tandem with him and Chandler Jones. Maybe bring back Marcus Golden too as well. Those are good guys off the edge. So I think those are their first – that's their first thing to address. Second, figure out a way to bring Larry back. I don't know what you do. You can't pay him $11 million anymore financially with the cap. You just can't do it. That number has been symbolic with Larry and his paycheck. Obviously, you just physically cannot pay him that kind of money anymore for the production that he put out last year coming off his worst year. I still think he has the best hands in the league. So figure out a way to bring Larry and those two guys back. Then when you're moving on to free agents and you're starting to fill that out, you're going to need another running back. I think they get a running back in the draft. In fact, if I'm looking at the draft, Najee Harris, the running back from Alabama, is a guy I would talk to. The running back from Clemson is another guy I would look at, or an offensive lineman. So those are my needs per se for the Cardinals, you know, Fitz, Hassan Reddick, Patrick Peterson. And then when you start looking at free agents, go find you a number two wide receiver, find you another offensive lineman. Maybe there's a running back there you like. If not, address those needs in the draft.
Cam, I love it. This was a lot of fun. And I love talking football, because not having football on Sundays, I don't know what to do with myself yet.
It's a little weird. But we got a good basketball team.
Yes.
And the Coyotes keep playing 7-game series. They're fighting every night, which is great. So yeah. I'll take it.
I love it. Cam, thank you so much. Sports anchor for 12 News, Cam Cox. I'm Sandy Charles, and we'll be right back.